Speaking on the program at this time is James W. Boyd.
The passage of Scripture that was read to you is one of three that reports this particular event in the life of Christ while He was here upon this earth. Now, these three accounts are not identical in every respect. They in no way contradict one another, but they complement one another. One may report certain things that another may not. And when we take all three of them, we learn the fullness of the account of Jesus healing these blind men. Now, Brother Jones read to us from Matthew. I want to read the other two accounts also, and you will see the similarity. And you may also detect certain additional things that are said in these two accounts. The second is in the book of Mark, beginning with verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway, sat aside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And the third account is found in the 18th chapter of Luke. Again, you will note the similarities. And it came to pass, as they were come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Calvary was before him. That would take place in about a week's time. His personal ministry upon this earth was about to come to a close. Because of the things that he taught, because of the prophecies he fulfilled, because of the demonstrations of his miraculous power, multitudes followed him wherever he went. The people had varied reactions toward him. Some were very positive toward him. They believed him. They followed him. There were others that were his enemies and were very negative. And Jesus nonetheless went to Jerusalem because he knew what was going to take place with him there. In fact, he had already told his disciples that he would be seized, he would be betrayed, he would be tried, he would be crucified, but on the third day he would rise again. And as he makes his way toward Jerusalem, he is in the vicinity of Jericho, and these great crowds were following him. And Jesus meets blind men, two blind men. One particular is emphasized. Matthew records two blind men. Mark and Luke refer to only one blind man. That attention is focused upon him. And Mark is the only one that gives us his name. His name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was not a ruler of the people. He was not a prominent individual. He was not a religious leader. He was not a king. He was not a rich man. He was a beggar. He was making his livelihood the only way that one could in his circumstance make it at that day and time. And in addition to being a beggar, he was blind. And we can see that his lot in life was very difficult, to be sure. But Bartimaeus could hear, and he heard the crowd, and he inquired what it was all about. And he was told that Jesus was coming that way. I want us to take note just here in this account, all three accounts, how that Jesus took time from all the things that he did for one person, this one man, even a beggar, a blind man. Does this not tell us something of the nature of our Lord and how he is concerned even about one person? And do we not see in that which he did not only showed his great power, but he showed a heartfelt compassion toward this individual? But Bartimaeus, asking about the crowd, being told that it was because Jesus was passing by, he believed that, and he cried out unto Jesus. He called Jesus the Son of David. Now that is very significant, because the prophets of old had said that the Messiah would be of the seed of David. He would be a son, a descendant of David. Evidently, Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He would not have cried out or addressed him in this fashion as the Son of David if he did not. It's quite evident that he had heard of Jesus prior to this time. We do not know how much he had heard, how much he had learned, but obviously he had been convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. And there was something else of which he was convinced. He knew he needed the Christ. He knew that he could not help himself. He knew he was very dependent. But he believed the Messiah had the power to provide for him that which he sought and that which he needed. And he sought the attention of Jesus because he knew Christ could help him. He knew that Christ had come not only to help the whole world, but Christ had come to help him. And that's a point that I would like to impress our hearts this morning. Christ came and he died for the sins of the whole world. He the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, John tells us. He tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. But my dear listening friend, Christ died for you. He died for me. He's concerned about the individual. He's concerned about your soul and all the things that he did and all the things that he taught. He has concern even for one. Mark records how that Jesus called for Bartimaeus to be brought to him. And the crowd brought him over to Jesus. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" He wanted to receive his sight. We can understand that, can we not? And the power of Jesus was manifested. He touched his eyes and he was able to see. And the blind man Bartimaeus praised God. And not only did he praise God, all the multitude that witnessed what took place also gave glory unto God. Now this account displays certain things about God's dealings with man. It tells us about the Christ. It tells us some things that we need to consider about ourselves. And just as Bartimaeus believed the accounts concerning Christ, do we believe those accounts? We have the inspired Word of God that testifies unto us, dear friend, with the evidence that we can know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If any of us are ever going to benefit from the blessings that the Lord has provided, we're going to have that same kind of conviction. And John wrote in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life through his name. Dear friend, we have the God-given evidence, the proof of eyewitnesses, the demonstrations of the things that prove that he is the Son of God. God expects us to believe that. Not on a blind faith, not some sort of leap in the dark, but because of the evidence that is before us that cannot be refuted. We can know this Jesus of Nazareth was the long-looked-for Messiah. Jesus had made this statement here, or John had written this statement about how we come to believe in Christ, after he had been talking to Thomas. Thomas, you will remember, was not present with the disciples when Jesus, after the resurrection, first appeared to his disciples. But he was with them the next time Jesus appeared. Thomas had said he would not believe until he saw the nail prints and the wound in his side. People have sometimes called him Doubting Thomas. I don't know whether he was doubting so much that as he was wanting to see the evidence for himself. And when he saw Christ and saw the evidence, he cried out, "My Lord, my God." He was convinced. Listen to me, dear people. God has given us the evidence concerning his Son. And in light of that evidence, every one of us can say the same thing that Thomas did. We can say, like the centurion at the time of the cross, "Truly, this was the Son of God." We can make the same confession that the Apostle Peter made when Christ said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He is not only a religious leader, a religious teacher. He was not only a martyr, but as his name indicates, the name Jesus, it means Savior, Emmanuel, which means God with us. I call to your memory how that the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to that multitude that was there in the city of Jerusalem. He presented the various evidences to those people, convincing them that God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And what was their reaction? When they were presented the truth and the evidence concerning Christ, what did they say? I suggest to you that they said the same thing that we must say. They cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were convinced of that truth. They knew they were in sin. They, like Bartimaeus, they knew they needed the Christ. What should they do? Is that the disposition that you have? With the evidence before us as to Jesus Christ and to his mission and to his purpose and to his blessings, do we have the disposition, what shall we do? And when those people were told what to do, they did it because they believed. They were told to repent and to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It is such a remarkable thing that of all of that multitude on that day, 3,000 obeyed the gospel. When we consider the billions of people that are upon this earth who need the forgiveness of sins that Christ provides, isn't it a staggering thought Yet he is concerned about you and about me as an individual, a precious soul that he has said is worth more than all this world. I don't know what you think about yourself. We usually think pretty well of ourselves, sometimes too much. Others may think well of us, as we hope that they would. I know what Christ, how he considers you. He considers your soul to be precious. He considered it so precious that he died on the cross that it might be saved in heaven. He takes a look at all of the things of this entire world of which we're acquainted, and all of them put together are not worth what you are. Do you have that same kind of value for your soul that our Lord had? I want you to notice that when Jesus called for Bartimaeus, he came to him. Oh, how unlike others of whom we read, for instance, in Luke, the 14th chapter, when Christ called for them, when time came for them to come to the feast that had been prepared for them, what did they do? They began to make excuse. First one excuse after another as to why they shouldn't come. Have you ever wondered why anybody would ever want to make an excuse for not coming to Christ? When we see what God has done, what Christ has done, what he offers to us, what is available to us, the easy plan of salvation that is before us, why would anybody ever come up with any kind of excuse to not to want to come to Christ? I want you to take note of the fact that as Jesus was passing by, Bartimaeus heard the crowd. He inquired what it was. The crowd rebuked him. The crowd told him to be quiet and to let Jesus go on and pass by without disturbing him. Now, I don't know why they wanted to silence Bartimaeus. Not told why. It may have been that they were ashamed of him. I don't know. It may be that they had not been sufficiently attentive to him and they were rather embarrassed because of his neglected. I don't know why they tried to get him to be quiet. But I know this, that if he had listened to them, he never would have been benefited by the Christ, would he? And I know, dear friend, that there are those in the world and there are influences in the world that would discourage you from crying out unto Christ and from coming to Christ. And they're not your friend. They're your most fatal enemy. Anybody that would discourage you from being a Christian is not seeking your highest good. These people did not seek what was a benefit for Bartimaeus. But thanks be to God, he paid no attention to that discouragement. He cried out for Christ nonetheless. There be those that might make you think, well, you are not worthy of coming to the Lord. They're right about that. None of us are worthy of what the Lord has done for us or what he has promised to give us. We can never earn the great salvation that he provides. And some would think, well, you're just so unworthy that you need not come. Friend, that's the very reason Christ came, is because we are unworthy. But rather than thinking of ourselves as being unworthy, it is possible that people might think, I do not need him. I am not a sinner. I am not lost. But you are if you're not in Christ. You cannot possibly be good enough to make your way to heaven without Jesus Christ. There is no other path than that. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. Let us not be deceived, dear friend, to think of ourselves so highly that we would think that all will be well with us and God without Christ. It will never be well for you or anyone else without Christ. Bartimaeus didn't listen to the discouragements that came his way. I plead with you not to be discouraged in coming to Christ. I would plead with you that regardless of even if some would ridicule, point out your sins as if you were too evil, regardless of how you might look upon yourself, let nothing hinder you from becoming a Christian. That's the only way to live life successfully. And there's such a joy and a happiness and a peace and a contentment in knowing that each day that you live, you're fulfilling your responsibility, your very purpose for existence, and that heaven awaits you when all is said and done. That's what Bartimaeus recognized. The Lord's invitation is, of course, whosoever will may come. And when he says that, listen to me, please. When he says that, he's looking right at me. He's looking right at you. He's not just looking only at others. He has his focus upon you. The Lord is not just concerned with the wealthy like the world might be, or with the famous, or with those that are considered to be wise. Our Lord is concerned about the poor. He's concerned about the lowly. I'm thankful that He's concerned about me, aren't you? Glad that He's concerned about you? How dreary life indeed would be if our Lord, who has created us, had no concern for us. But may I persuade you that you, like Bartimaeus, must realize your need of Christ. Notice what Christ said to him, "Be of good comfort." The Lord knew what he could do for him. The Lord knew he needed to be comforted. The Lord knows you need to be comforted in the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord wants to comfort you in the forgiveness of your sins. He told Bartimaeus to rise, and he went to Christ. As we look at this particular individual, we see this relationship between this blind man and Jesus, and this is written for my benefit and for yours. God is not interested in simply telling us about the story of a blind man around Jericho 2,000 years ago. He's trying to impress something on my heart and yours. Will we allow him to do that? Will we not be aware of the compassion that Jesus Christ has even toward us in our sins? Cannot we see by this inspired account what our reaction to the Christ should be? Should you not have the same disposition as Bartimaeus this morning, dear friend? You have not yet obeyed the gospel? Don't you know that the result of disobeying and refusing to obey Him is your condemnation and ruin? On the other hand, your faith, like Bartimaeus, can make you whole. You'll notice at the conclusion of all of these accounts, it says that the blind followed Jesus in the way. Receiving a great blessing from Him, they followed the Lord. Friend, that's what the Lord wants of every single individual that's accountable before God here this morning of a responsible age. That's what the Lord God of heaven is expecting of you. He's pleading with you to realize that. He has given us this account to show us the way that we should go. You can obey the gospel. What an encouragement to one and all if you would obey the gospel. But what a blessing to you, because then you would be one of God's children and you will follow Christ on your way to heaven. The way you begin is by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, indeed the Messiah, like Bartimaeus believed. And then follow the instructions of Christ to repent of your sins and to confess that faith. And to be buried with the Lord in baptism and your sins be washed away by His blood. Then you can follow Christ. The remaining days of your life, whether they be long or short, And that we do not know. But whatever might come, all will be well with your soul. Would you obey Christ? Would you follow the good example of Bartimaeus? If you've once started and have stumbled and faltered and stopped along the way, will you not be restored this morning? Through repentance, confession of your sins, and go to God in prayer seeking His forgiveness. That's God's way of saving man. That's the way He wants to save you.